he was an ordinary bloke moved by the circumstances that he saw on the television, a taxi driver from Salford, as we all know, who was taking part in convoys to bring aid to people there who were under pressure of war and conflict, and who has been killed by these wicked people overnight.
I mean, there can be no justification for the manner ever, for the manner in which he was executed. But this wasn't a soldier. This was just a taxi driver, a bloke who was watching a television news bulletin, thought, I want to make a difference.
As others have said, these people hate us not because of what we do, but because of who we are. It wouldn't matter who anyone was who falls into their hands. If it suits them to kill people, they will do it. The questions around this, apart from the appalling tragedy of what's happened to him, the plea of his wife, which now, in a way, sets up even more clearly what these people are. If his wife can make the plea that she did, if his friends, if Muslims all over the world were saying, not in our name, that this man has committed no crime, if those pleas fall on deaf ears, then it's very clear now what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a group. They should not be blessed with the name Islamic State. They're neither Islamic nor their estate. The local name being used is Daesh. It's a sort of derogatory term for a bunch of terrorist criminal murderers, which is what they are. So let's use that. And I wish the media and the government here would do that. But this group have set out and they're causing their havoc across the region. If people don't agree with them, then they are forced either to flee or to risk death. What they want to do with us is as yet unclear. Whether or not they believe that by doing this they can encourage the British people to rise up against our own government and say, don't send in airstrikes, don't do anything. They may think that will happen. Of course it won't. On the other hand, they may want to suck us in. And they may want to suck in British ground troops because that fulfills their false narrative of saying this is a war between Islam and the West. So I think we now have to think very carefully what it is they want. I'm quite sure we should be clear about what we want. This is to rid that region and the world of this evil. It's simply a question of how to do it.
Okay. So I'm going to just pick you up on a point. You mentioned the media, how careful they have to be. I'm always concerned. I mean, The Sun this morning, Brit number two beheaded. Fine. Factually, it is correct, it would seem. Jihadi John murders hero aid worker. Why are we using the term Jihadi John? Because it almost sanitises this man's personality. Yeah.
I'm sure it was never intended to do. I think, understandably, the work of the media is to try and personalise things and make it easier for us all to grasp. I think when this term was devised, it was meant just to do that. It became a way of recognising an individual who was likely to crop up again. I agree with you. I think now that time has passed. He shouldn't be dignified with a name, with a moniker, with a nickname. As I say, these are criminal terrorist murderers, and I think people need to be very clear about that.
Alistair, what are the machinations at the Foreign Office at a time like this? I mean, because we had Alan Henning's wife make that emotional video appeal. Another British hostage, his father, made an appeal from a hospital bed. But the time, we don't know what the timeline is here. We've seen the video overnight,
yes,
of Alan Henning. Hopefully we haven't seen, but we've been aware of it. But we don't know if that was conducted, he was killed yesterday or last week even.
No, people don't know. That's true. And I don't think a government would necessarily know either. They seem to be contemporary in that they make reference to contemporary events. One of the killings happened before the airstrikes. Now this has happened after the airstrikes. What happens in the Foreign Office and what has been happening for months, for years, is first and foremost, you do everything you can to try and find out where people are. You use any information you might have on the ground. You try and locate them. The overwhelming determination of the government is to do whatever is possible to protect and secure life. If there is any chance of rescuing, if there is any chance of helping these people live and come out alive, that's the number one consideration. After that, you start to consider what else might be done. What's the impact? You obviously stay very close to families. I think now there will be further discussion about whether or not people should go to the media earlier than they have done. I personally don't think it makes any difference whatsoever. I don't think it makes any difference whether a case is known to the public well in advance or whether it's all done quietly. Once captors have somebody, they will decide whether they live or die. I think they are completely impervious to outside pressure. This is not a criminal gang doing it for money. There are some gangs who do it principally for money. East Africa, we've seen that, and that's a different negotiation. We've seen people released there. These people are doing it for the politics. Yes, if they can raise substantial sums of money, and there is an issue about whether other countries have paid very large sums of money.
Some of the peers have.
If they have done, I mean, the British government, the American government are very against that, because what this does is finance their work. It enables them to buy the arms they need to kill other people, so we're very against it. I think, actually, it doesn't make any difference to the captors. They are genuinely cruel in the way in which they handle the families and they draw out what they're doing. They have a clear political aim, which I think now is probably to draw us somehow into the conflict more deeply. And I think we need to be very clear-eyed about how we deal with this. We should deal with it through those who are acting already on the ground, Iraqi forces, Kurdish forces, Syrian forces. We should give them every support they need. This might include now extending bombing into Syria if that is going to be effective.
Are you in favour of that?
Because yeah, I'm in favour of stopping these people. I don't think we are compromised if we extend our airstrikes into Syria, where these people are based. I'm concerned about the use of British ground troops because I'm not yet sure if that's necessary. And certainly that would change things in their narrative because they would use that and say it's the West against us. I think we need to make sure that those who are fighting them on the ground have everything they need, and that should be the aim. But stopping them is now really, really important.
Alistair, it's no secret that during your time as the Foreign Office Minister, you made a lot of friends around the world, in the Middle East in particular, highly respected. To most people, still surprised that you're no longer there. But you understand this region. You understand how these conflicts, you've been involved in dealing with these, as you're appointed, of course. Is there enough support from local, in that region, from those countries surrounding, that are surrounded, it could be affected by ISIS, to actually deal with this issue?
Well, you're raising very interesting and very, very difficult issues. Part of the reason for the rise of this group was that they began in Syria, as being those who were supporting the people being attacked by Assad. And they began in Iraq because they were people who were supporting the Sunni community, who were being excluded from government and being oppressed by the former Prime Minister Maliki and the Shia community who run Iraq, supported by the Iranian Shia government. And this particular force got its support from ordinary people. It's then become a monster out of control. I'm sure the groups at times also got backing and finance from other sources within the region. But something has changed over time. This group are clearly not interested in freeing other people from oppression. They want to oppress them themselves. But the complexity of the situation, who is on whose side, who is fighting who gains out of these attacks, is genuinely complex. But I think you have to break through all that and work out what are the essentials here. The essentials here are, this is a group who, if you don't agree with them, will kill you. They will kill men, women and children, and they will do this. They have a political aim, which is to extend their form of control over a much wider area. They will suck innocent people into it. If you do what they ask, they will let you live. And clearly there are communities there in areas where they are controlling who are perfectly content to let this go on. But if you oppose them, then they will kill you. And that is the risk to the rest of the region, because the rest of the region has people who do not wish to live like this. They have a desire to be free, and I think we should be helping them. Otherwise, this menace will threaten all of us.